This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
With Renault, official car partner of the GAA, driving passion for sport and communities throughout Ireland and abroad.
We may not be able to get in on the sporting action we're used to, but we can get in on some exclusive offers from Renault. To celebrate their second year as official car partner of the GAA, Renault is offering a range of special offers on their new and used vehicles, exclusive to all GAA club members. So now you can take home the win right to your door. Check out renault.ie/GAA to find out more.
A grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on,
Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
We're missing what the show. Then we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Morning, folks. Clock's back. Hope you all enjoyed your line yesterday morning. I certainly did anyway. It took an hour off the day, or geez, it added to the day. The more I'm thinking about it, it was a long day. I put it up on Twitter. It was the weirdest drive ever to Hurling Sleds. Passing out places. TJ, you'd know this road well. Passing out places like Boris Ali and the Rag and nothing. No car to meet you. But look, lads, you're all very welcome again this morning or Monday morning. Be up by lunchtime. Irish Examiner podcast in association with Renault, kind sponsors, and we thank them always for that. And I suppose first weekend, lads, of the big stuff. And would it be fair to say we were a bit disappointed with the intensity, or are we looking at the new reality, the new normal, Mark? Do you know, I got a shock when I turned around. You know, I was doing the television, obviously, but we were so focused on doing our pieces right, and you know, as you have to do, and then you turn around and the scene is there in front of you. Like, I got a quick shock, I have to say.
Yeah, but I suppose the seriousness of the pandemic is hitting home now, really, that there is a new normal out there. The world has changed. We've taken the responsibility on this country to go into a second lockdown. And the major thing for me is that we were able to get our games played over the weekend in a COVID compliant manner. I think that's the big takeaway from the weekend. It would be an awful lot worse, Anthony, if we were sitting at home with no match to watch. And it was great to see yourself and Cusick looking so well on the television the other night with Joanne. And she obviously a new jacket for the occasion, a bit like yourself, I'd say.
Yeah, well, she said it was light pink. I thought it was lilac. Like,
well, I had to turn down the colour of my little faction, but like that was more, I think, to take the shine off your father than anything. Like, but
would you prefer me with a Peaky Blinders hat? Like,
in fairness to Cusick, like he obviously went to Sexton's for men for the hat. Like, you know, so the next day, now you will have to consider the hat. I'd say.
Aye, Patrick Burke menswear had me togged out in the finest yesterday. Stop you. That quote, I tell you, it's just different gravy, like, fairness.
I suppose the other thing, I suppose, is the big score lines that were put up by both, even the winning and the losing teams, was a big thing. And the yellow slitter, now we might have a chat about that as well as to whether that has an effect or not. But certainly massive scores, and two teams came away with massive credit over the weekend. I think Dublin and Limerick. Like, Dublin's performance was excellent, Anthony, and they've unearthed a couple of young fellas. You'll be looking forward to seeing them against with the likes of Kilkenny next weekend.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. I wouldn't say they were unearthed, to be honest. I kind of probably know the scene a bit closer, maybe, but for me, Donal Burke, that has been waiting to happen like for 3.5 years. You know, but Derek, we can't say lack of intensity. sure we can't really blame Dublin and Limerick, you know, for being so good on the day, and there was a golf in class in both games.
Yeah, look, I think it's going to be a slow burner. I think we, as much as anything, we have to kind of nearly bring ourselves to that conclusion ourselves, because it's like anything, if you talk yourself into a bad humour, you'll get into a bad humour enough. So I think we kind of nearly have to go there. Like, it was very, very surreal yesterday. You know, I had a firelight. We had a firelight at home. Like, kind of, I put the Camogie match on Waterford and Limerick on at 2 o'clock, and then I put your coverage on at 3. So I had one on the laptop and one on the TV, if you like. And, you know, on Saturday evening was the same. I had the open firelight, and I said, we'll make it kind of an occasion of this. And for the first time in a long time, I kind of found myself even going down to the kitchen door in a hurling match, which they'd never do. You know, I kind of just nipped down for a minute. And
yeah,
because I felt with a lack of intensity, or I don't know what it was. I thought it was slow at the start. And just, I suppose, accustomizing ourselves to what's in front of us, I suppose, because you're so accustomed to the kind of the fervor of a championship match and that kind of crowd involvement. So, look, kudos to everyone involved. But it's look, Limerick and Dublin were very impressive, you know. Even though at half time, I, like yourselves, at half time, were kind of saying, Jesus, they are really going well. They're in a good shout here. You know, I thought the Dublin game was done and busted at half time, if I'm honest. You know, I think Dublin were 7-up, even though Leash, you know, did well to get it back to a number of points. But I thought at half time it was a proper game there in Limerick. And I said to myself, Jesus, Limerick have to really come up. Because I remember Cusack said at half time, we'll see what Limerick are made of now. And in fairness, they answered all those questions. You know, 12 points from play from half hour. How many times have we talked about Hegarty, Hayes and Morrissey? Just the value of what they do and the way they play. And, you know, there's so much kind of, I suppose, belief in what they do as well. And can you reinforce that belief early on in the second half, I thought, in terms of the intensity levels and the way they went about their business. And look, convincing winners, but look, Kylie, you'll know there's a long road to the end all the same.
Yeah, and like TJ, on that half-hour line, like, the clear half back line made that, or the management made it probably, I suppose, that they'd sit and hold their line. And Limerick really didn't get a goal chance till David Reedy's half chance near the end of it. But that's okay, Mum. About 36 points, like, is nearly record stuff between two. I know Cork hit it against Westmeath last year, they hit 40 odd points, but between two kind of the traditional strong powers in Munster, it was an incredible amount of points to score, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is incredible. And in fairness, Matt touched on it there. Like, Clare scored 123 and Lee scored 23 points. So there is, like, the scoring, I'm not sure what the odds were on the over or under in terms of the overall score, but it was very high scoring. And I saw somewhere last night where someone was saying it's the fast puck outs and also probably the use of the ball now. Like, you see the start of the second half there, Limerick had put 5 points on the board there in literally a matter of minutes. Like, so just a maximum use of possession and, I mean, the right man hitting the shot and really good use of the ball. But 36 points is a phenomenal score in a championship game. And 21 of those coming in the second half with probably, 23 or 4 playing minutes, maybe even a little bit less. So, yeah, like, really good start. And John Kiely would have been happy with that. And look, I suppose from a Limerick point of view too, it did get lost, and it probably got lost in a lot of us, is that it was a league final as well. Like, so we don't have that many of them. So it's another significant achievement for this group, is to go and win the league championship. And like yourselves, like for me, sitting at home watching Limerick on the television playing championship is new, because we'd always go to the matches. No crowd. Like, it definitely lacked the atmosphere. Sky Sports' attempt at the crowd probably annoyed me more than anything else, because it was just a little bit delayed and stuff. I didn't think it enhanced the occasion at all. But from what we know, I suppose, and what we played, that blood and thunder and passion. I think, Dale, you touched on the TV as maybe when David Ryan knocked that ball over the bar, you can picture all those Clare fans kind of saying, we're in this game, we're in this game. And it definitely lacked that. And I don't know. Great to see Clare Castle having a very good defender at last in the Clare back line. And the other thing I was just going to touch on, like, I did think that one or two things against Clare, like, I just don't understand about, like, the Fergal Horgan decision on the 65, or sorry, throwing that ball in where he's pulling the keeper for going a step literally outside the square. But overall, like, in terms of the experience watching us, it's new. And maybe, as Mark said there, it's probably going to take us a game or two to get into it. But a good start for John Kiely and a good start for Limerick.
Yeah, Cusack was funny off the air. Like, you know, he's because he had it slowed down, Derek. You know, to crack it, you can go over to Aidan Sinnott and you can say, and go back to Aidan. And you know the way Donald will be now. Just get it. If you're driving Aidan mad, probably, and lots of us. But he says, wait, I'll show you this. And this is where we were going. Have a look at this. He says, look at the umpire. He says he hasn't even launched the puck out and he's ready to stick out his hand. He says to pull him back in, like, you know.
But I presume, Anthony, now, and I was having a discussion with Per Moyle yesterday about this, like that. He reckons...
Your Twitter handle, is it?
...didn't warn him, but I'm under the impression the referees always warn the goalkeeper before the game starts that if you go outside the small square, you're going to be picked up by the umpire. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, but sir, I suppose sometimes that can be forgotten. Do you know that? But that's the law, Mark. Every goalie knows that. Like,
you can't go to the square.
Yeah. But like, it was just the fact, you know. I'd say he committed way worse offences coming outside the square than that one. If you know what I'm saying.
But I would believe that the umpire had got to the end of his tether and said, "Right, lad, it probably has warned him a couple of times, and if you continue to do it, I have no other choice but to put out my hand." Like,
yeah, I think what materialised also is. They watch the Saturday night game and the referees kind of say to themselves, what was allowed, what wasn't allowed, and what will I kind of, you know, improve on from the last, you know, and it's kind of becomes kind of almost fastidious kind of, you know, intention that I'll definitely improve on what was allowed last year. And it becomes a kind of, you know, to kind of get up the rankings in terms of where they stand, you know, at times it can become a little bit individualized, you know, and I thought it was a little bit overly fussy now myself, but...
Like I was actually writing down notes as I was watching the game, the Clare and Limerick game, and the first thing I wrote down after 10 minutes is I thought that Fergal Horgan was overly fussy. And he's a referee that normally lets things go, but he was blowing mad. But remember when we had him on the pod earlier on in the year to give him his due, he said, like, in the early rounds of the season in the league, he said, we're a bit like the players. He said, we're small but slow to get up to the pace of the game. And I actually thought when he came around to the second half, he left an awful lot more goal than he did in the first half. And you'd have to take on board, like, he's one of the top referees that we have in the country. He's probably taking a little bit of time to adjust as well and get up to the speed of it.
Yeah, but we did it. We did a feature there, teacher, a small one. Like, Donald did it about the refs on Zoom calls. Like, and just seemed to me that steps has been very much watched out for, hand passing, you know, little things. And I know, Mark, what you're saying, and we wouldn't be that bothered normally with the league matches being riffed because we know what's coming, but we're into this straight away. It's the Munster Championship. It's the Leinster Championship. Think of the weekend we have ahead. Like, we don't have time for riffs to be getting up to speed. Like,
I know, but the players are going to be the same, Anthony, as well.
Mark, my point would be, like, technically, this umpire might say that he was right. It was slightly outside the square, right? But you're like, you're talking about something really, really tiny in the overall scheme of things. My problem now with umpires down the road is something really blatant will happen, and he won't help his referee. Like, that's the inconsistency we talk about all the time. But anyway, look, it was just a little bugbear time. We give out about it, kind of saying if you were in goals or whatever, you were under the cosh. And next thing, this referee and umpire kind of saying, oh, Jesus. I can imagine, Dale, if you were full back, you probably would have said, one or two sweet little nothings to that umpire, I'd say, you know.
Yeah. His club could have been mentioned. Like,
back to the hand pass, Anthony. Yeah. In the first half, remember Keane Lynch was looking at the referee saying, "What's that for?" But when the camera slowed down the hand pass, he clearly threw the ball. Like,
yeah, I know. I'm not talking about that. But yeah. I go back to Saturday night. Like, I Paul Dwyer, I think Blue was it Jake Malone. Or steps, or was it Young Boland, Keane Boland?
Keane Boland, yeah.
Leslie was barely on his fourth step now. When
Yeah.
Are you looking for these frees, like, or are you looking to let the play flow? I mean, Brian Gavin's piece this morning in the paper.
Excellent.
He actually suggested, Mark, because of all the whistling, I'm like, don't get me wrong, I love Fergal Horgan as a ref, like, because his nature would be to let it go, like, but. Mm-hmm. One of Brian's suggestions was that maybe we stop the ref having to blow for the puck out, and once the players are outside the 20-meter line, that we'd allow the puck out to take place. And that's a fair statement. Like,
but Anthony, if the referee's 70 or 80 yards away, he's not going to know whether the six players in the full forward line and full back line are outside the 21, is he?
But I think that's Tito's point. Like, what are his two linesmen doing then? Like, can't they cover that? Like.
But sure, isn't he? Is this team just blow the whistle and let him off?
Well, Matt,
back out. Can't he? Like, the reality is, we're waiting for the referee, who's probably gone in as far as the 30-yard line, to get back out to the 70-yard line to be there for the next passage of play. The answer to this is two referees, Anthony. It's as simple as that. Two referees on either side of the 70-yard line.
Yeah, but another show for that one. But Mac, the current rule allows, right, that on a wide ball, the keeper can go. He doesn't have to wait for the whistle, right?
Correct.
On a score, you are supposed to wait for the whistle. And that's probably what's causing the confusion for some of those goalies, and that's what we're trying to get it away.
But the reason on the score is because the referee has got to be given time to write down the score. So maybe we should take that away from the referee and let the clock do the job. And the referee doesn't have to take down the score.
Yeah, that look, I suppose to go back
that
to
makes 100%
point,
sense.
Yeah, it does. To go back to Dale's point, on the weekend just gone, those two or three decisions that we were speaking about there didn't have an overall impact in the game. But I suppose heading into semi-finals and provincial finals and stuff like where you're going down the stretch in really, really tight games. And I just saw where people saying that like, the oxygen is getting thinner. It could be tricky for referees now to referee some of these games on the hand pass, on the steps, on a keeper coming outside. How many times, Dale, will we see a keeper come outside the box between now and the end of the championship? You'll see loads of them.
TJ, technology is there, TJ, and I know now I'm going to diverse to a different sport, to the fun sport, the great game of soccer, and you see the frustration that has come in with VAR, but ultimately they're getting 95% of the decisions probably right. Just technology
don't get me started on that thing. Don't get me started. You see the decision against Liverpool on Saturday night? It's like as if VAR is sent to kind of make sure we don't win another league here.
You got every decision in the league last year. So it's starting to level itself up this year.
Just to fill you in there on the backgrounds, we're all on our normal backgrounds here. Mark is at home, but he's obviously no farmer today. So he's in his cities. He's in a T-shirt bank holiday, obviously. But TJ, instead of having the Liverpool or the Golden Gates Bridge or anything, he has the Limerick supporters filling the field somewhere with their, just to rile me up further anyway. But look, we'll it's a long year there yet, like down back door by, and we're well used to that road and we're good at it. We get leash in that draw, I'll tell you, we'll be okay.
Yeah. Dale, when you mentioned farmers there, I told you last night, I sent you a WhatsApp, right? Donnie was on to me yesterday saying, is it possible to send a message to the hierarchy making the fixtures and the times that they would take farmers and milking cows into consideration when deciding throwing times for hurling matches during the winter?
So there's no match on at 7 o'clock in the morning, TJ?
No, the morning is fine. Donnie's still milking them in the evening, and there's a throwing set scheduled for 5:45 this Saturday. He said right smack in the middle of milking time. And yes, Donnie doesn't have a TV in his milking parlour. Maybe that's what the solution is.
Well, I mean, like, have you no she been on the farm? Like, and you needn't, you can just nod there. No, we need to tell the listeners. No. Okay.
I thought you want to tell Donnie to bring in the cows a bit earlier.
Maybe
with the clock, with the clock going back, like Donnie. But I presume, like, the hierarchy in Croke Park listen to this show. Obviously, it's the cutting edge of podcasting when it comes to the suggestions here are top class. So, Donnie, we'll get that message up to them for you. But Mark, and we'll talk about the games the weekend. You were saying there's a time clash there yesterday evening.
The Kilkenny Dublin game is 3:45 and the Cork Waterford game, I think, is 3:30. Both of them are on Saturday. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah. According to my fixtures, looking at Mark, you are right, yeah.
Misfortunate, lads, isn't it? No, in fairness.
That doesn't make any sense. I mean, there's only four hurling games for the weekend. I presume it's being scheduled around TV and potentially football and stuff like that. But I would have said, from a hurling point of view, two matches on Saturday, two matches on Sunday. Like, I'd say 90% of hurling people would probably watch the hurling matches. They won't have a major interest in the football. If there was no other game on, I'd watch a good football match, all right? But, like, I can't understand why those two, the Cork Waterford, Kilkenny and Dublin game is clashing. That makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, no, like, they can probably only show maybe three of them, like, so the other one should be allowed a time to be streamed if you want to pay your fiver and watch it, like, obviously, and we would, like, but, yeah, I think that's misfortunate. Just going back again to yesterday, I see a bit of stuff last night here when I got home, and we were just trying to unwind, I suppose, after the day of driving home in the dark. It's all weird a bit from what we're used to with Munster, but Ava Quilligan was getting a bit of grief on social media about the puck outs, and you know, Derek, you get the stats off Johnny Bradley with RTE, like, as well, and like on the puck outs and lost puck outs and retained puck outs, it was nearly 50-50. The big stat was Limerick 17 points from turnovers, Clare 1-7 from turnovers. You know, it's 8 scores to 17 scores on turnovers. And again, can you take on Limerick in this middle zone? Is there anyone out there capable of taking them on this middle zone?
You certainly can't take them on when you have your full forward line inside your own 13. You need to match the numbers with their numbers out there. You know, I think that's it's very difficult. You know, basically they have more than everyone else out there. You know, there's times where, you know, we talk about Leash or talk about anyone at the weekend, but there's times where Galan is essentially in there on his own. The minute the puck is hit, Graham Mulcahy, Peter Casey are out there straight away, and they're supplementing Hegarty, Hayes and Morrissey. They're so deep, like, and yet they're not hitting it into the spare man at times. Now, they did a bit of it in the first half, and they did a bit of it against Kilkenny in the semi-final last year, to be fair, where they left Galan in there, didn't work their normal game, and they hit it into Galan, and Conor Fogarty stayed back, and Killian Buckley stayed back, and they were hitting it in. And there was an element of that a little bit in the first half, again, yesterday, where Clare had Patrick O'Connor staying back, Shane Amore was going deep, all right, with Kyle Hayes, it looked like a man-to-man top, and Allen on the left hand side was also not following Hegarty. So it's very difficult unless you kind of, if you're going to do what most teams do, which is what DJ alluded to, where Dermot Burns just, he basically stays right half back to good. Like, I've been trying to put myself in Brian Lowen's situation yesterday. We're saying there's or John Kiley. They're saying, Jesus, Tony Kelly is running them up. After 10 minutes, I probably would have said to myself, right, we're putting someone on him for the day. There was absolutely no move from Kiley. They just left. He played at 13, but he played anywhere else at 13. He played at 12, he played at 11.
11 a lot, yeah.
And he was popping up everywhere. And it kind of reminded me, we played him in 16, and we tried to transition him over in 16 in the league final. Kelly, we said, if he goes deep, Shane Bennett will pick him. If he's up in our half, Philip Manny will pick him. And we got lost in the grey area of trying to pick him up. And I know I'm on a tangent now in terms of Kelly, in terms of the actual question.
No, he got 17 points. This is relevant.
But I was just saying to myself, I would have put someone on him. But Kiley and them, they stick to their kind of template of zonal kind of defending. They nearly leave the forwards look after Kelly, if you like. They nearly leave Hayes, Hegarty and Morrissey look after Kelly and be deep enough to funnel back and get their own game going. And the reason that's relevant to the question is that Ivor Quilligan, yeah, you can blame puck outs or whatever, but I think they simplify it then to kind of basically saying wherever the ball lands, we have numbers. And I know that sounds very, very simple. So if it lands in the half forward line near Hegarty, you have an 11 there, you have an 8 there, you have possibly a 13 there, and it's, you know, I think Donal O'Grady referred in the paper this morning is that they attack as a unit and they defend as a unit, all in numbers, everywhere, all over the pitch. But the interesting thing for me, with Tipperary in mind, and with the future in mind, I suppose, will there be a day where they need... We played Limerick in a challenge match at 16, in down in the Gaelic grounds, 17, sorry, down in the Gaelic grounds, really good challenge match. But they had Hegarty and Galan inside in the full forward and on their own, and they went very, very direct. And Hegarty caused this awful grief now, just in a one-off challenge match. And I was just, you know, he's very good in the air, and it's just a little bit different. And I'm wondering, will they need different as it goes on? That's all. That's the only question I have. Will they need a little bit of, a very flexible, but will they need something different as it goes on?
Yeah, and TJ, Brian Lohan won't get too many kudos this morning. I didn't listen to Clare FM now. They'll have some bit of a review on it, but obviously, when you lose by 10 points to your near neighbours, you're not, the people won't look for the positives even. You know, the masses out there will just look at the scoreline and 36 points, 123. But like, it was a fair shock for Barry Nash on his kind of debut at Connor back. I know he might have played one league game there, to see Tony Kelly trotting into him. Wonder if you wanted to upset a guy starting, like, it was a fair one, wasn't he? Probably expecting Ryan Taylor or maybe Aaron Cunningham or, you know, even Shane O'Donnell. And I presume maybe that Sean Finn thought of for Shane O'Donnell. But to see Kelly arriving in, he wouldn't have foreseen that.
No, he certainly wouldn't. I was a little surprised, Dillo, with the initial first 15 for Clare. I was expecting probably something a little bit different. I did think that the two Aarons would feature in the first 15. But at the same time, I did think that Clare came with a plan. it looked like from the TV that the two midfielders were kind of more or less man-marking Will O'Donoghue and Keane Lynch. It looked like from the TV, right? It looked like that they had a plan for Tony Kelly, and it looked like as if their half-back line was holding. So they did have a plan, right? And it did work for a good bit of the game. And they, I suppose if Wright was right, they probably should have been ahead at halftime, maybe by a couple of points. They did shade the first half, right? But then the start of the second half, as you call it, the championship quarter, they really, really struggled. And then when you went behind in that system, and you see, when you're chasing the game or chasing scores into a Limerick setup that plays zonally, that's just absolutely fodder for them. They'll mop that up all day and they'll pick you off for scores, and that makes life easier for them. To go back to what Derek was on about there, like you were saying, can they be outworked? Like, for me, the work rate from Kilkenny in the semi-final last year, probably, they definitely matched it. It probably over, maybe outworked them at times. And in fairness, Kilkenny with the puck outs, like they had John Lee and Walter Walsh back effectively, like helping their head. Like they were very, very, very deep. Like, and then I won't say that they mirrored it, but it was very close to being something similar to what Limerick did. And it did work for them because they had the target men inside. And on the other point then that Derek was making, these coaches now, like you take, look like Pep or whatever in the Premiership, they don't really do plan Bs. I think they kind of tend to try and make plan A better rather than go for a plan B. That's basically their motto, and that's what they're trying to do. And like, I've been in the stand with Limerick where they're trying to get that possession game going in the middle of the field and trying to play that better than 50-50 ball to the boys inside, where you have to move inside, and it does work very well for them. There's Limerick supporters there, will you hit it? And you try to explain to one or two of them, that's not what they're about. That's not what their game. And even trying to explain yesterday who's picking up Tony Kelly, right? You just have to understand the system as to what they're trying to do. And once you do that, but it is a difficult system to break down. And when it starts rolling, it is a difficult system to kind of, I don't even know what Clare could have done in that first 5-10 minutes of the second half just to change it. It seemed like the goal came at the right time for them, but just Limerick got going again and just kept that 5-6 points in reserve.
And Mark, like, they did come up with two majestical bursts, didn't they? The 6 points after half time. No, Tony was majestic, but he missed the two frees, which were killer blows on top of, you know, and but then after the goal and the point for Clare as well, when they brought back to the point, I think they got 2 points and then the goal. There was a point in it again. You said, hold on, this thing is seesaw. Limerick go up the field again, I think, and outscored Clare 6-1, burst. And that, if you know, I would, the last 10 minutes, there was an element, that was the little bit I was disappointed with Clare. I felt maybe they were out on their feet now, maybe, and our bench wasn't anything like Limerick's bench.
The game was done, Anthony, at that stage. And like, I don't know what the preparation has been like for the Clare team over the last 6 weeks. I couldn't imagine it has been great. From the soundings I'm hearing around the place, they played a number of challenge matches and they were well beaten. And some of their training sessions, I'd say, mightn't have been brilliant. Other facilities mightn't have been brilliant, Anthony. And just listen to a couple of lads that I know around in Clare and stuff like that. I don't know what kind of support they're getting in the background from the county board, but they looked like a team to me that you know, they hung in there in the first half. They hung in there because of Kelly. In particular, he was outstanding and he was fantastic. And he was, you know, himself and Donal Buck were the two hurlers of the weekend. They were absolutely brilliant, the two of them. But the burst after 5 minutes is what really did put the game to bed. I thought the goal that Clare got kind of camouflaged, to be honest, with how good Limerick were in the second half. You know, great credit. I mean, Clare did throw it at him to try and get back into the game. The 2 points that Tony Kelly missed in the freeze. Do you know what, Dale? I think you remarked on the television. He's not the main free taker with their team as well at club level. I don't think he's a brilliant free taker. He's not your Parig Manny, Patrick Horgan, TJ Reid. He's not in that class, but he's a brilliant all-round hurler and brilliant from play. But I thought once Clare just came near Limerick with 15 minutes ago, Limerick just turned on the turbos and just moved away from them. And that's always a sign of a really, really positive team. It's a sign of a team that are very comfortable playing their own system. The fact that they didn't mark Kelly meant, we're not worried about him. Give him 7 or 8 points. It's okay. The rest of the lads aren't going to beat us. That's probably what they were thinking. And they'll be looking at Tipperary now, Dale, next week. And this match is going to bring them on a ton because they'll go back to last year going in against Kilkenny and they were caught cold in the first half and Kilkenny got a run on them. And if they had 3 or 4 more minutes in that match last year, Limerick would have reeled in Kilkenny. But look, that's last year. We got to get on with this year. But I think John Kiely's men have really set their stall out this year. There's no going to be cut cold this year. If they're beaten, they're going to be beaten fair and square. They'll get one opportunity, you know, whether it is the Munster semi-final, if they get to the final, that if they're beaten once. But for me, they sent out a strong notice, particularly in the second half. And the other thing I would say is, you got 15 scores in the first half and 21 in the second half. The 21 is probably because they had the wind. But for me, they played for 70 minutes at a constant pace. And their physical fitness and their strength is very much up to speed.
Yeah, and I wrote about it this morning. I just did the 3 years with the academy, and I was just a director of coaching, like seeing that the coaching was done right for the 15s, and you're over, and probably you're the coach to the minor team. That's really my role, if I can go back to it. But lads, the strength and conditioning, fellas, we had in Carborough, Carlon, when I went in first, right? Carborough got a job at Arsenal. I don't know why you went there, no, Larry, but. And hard luck yesterday, Larry. That was one thing when I turned on the television and got home last night to see Jamie Vardy had scored to beat GNO in the league. I look forward to tonight as well, relaxing with a glass of wine, watching Harry Kane getting a hat trick. But Carborough went to Arsenal, lads, and Tip heard about this guy when Liam went back in. And he was a bit homesick. I know that from being kind of a friend of his. And they went after him and got him into the IT in Turles. Lecturing and got him sorted down there, and he's loving it, and he wins the All-Ireland. Carborough goes away, he's replaced by Mikey Kiley. TJ, you know Mikey probably as good or better than I do. Mikey still hurling with Billy Brown, knows the game inside out, highly qualified. He's there on the line with Limerick now, this year and last year, replacing Joe O'Connor. In the academy then, Dara Droog comes in to replace Mike Kiley because he goes up to the under-21s to win the All-Ireland with Pat Donnelly. Dara Droog, All-Ireland strength and condition winning coach with Nick Piercy. Double Munster club champion strength and conditioning coach. Like, you reap what you sow, lads. And like, you look at that, the specimens of men they have, like Will O'Donoghue, Keane Lynch, Tom Morrissey, Kyle Hayes, Gerard Haggerty last night. My daughter was in the couch here watching the Sunday game. She said, Jesus, the size of him. She says, he could be playing for Munster, couldn't he? And carrying it, like, he's not overburdened. I know 1 year with the Dubs, we got the weights wrong. Liam Rush could hardly fit into a jersey one of the years, and we nearly had to slim him down over the winter the following year. Limerick seemed to have it, and they're at it, and people would say they were anti-academies and all this shite and leave it to the clubs and that, but I think it's coming to fruition, like, and it was long in place before I went in. I never saw Keane Lynch, I never saw Aaron Gillan, Dermot Burns, any of these fellas. But Dermot Burns wasn't even in it, TJ.
Yeah, and Dale, that takes a lot of time, and that takes a lot of planning. And if you look at patience, and if you look at where Dublin footballers are at, and where, let's say, maybe Kerry footballers are at, Mayo footballers are at, that, I suppose, that financial resource, right, that kind of drive and common team behind the scenes, right, putting the planning in place, right, because... Like, you can't fix an S&C. You can't fix it in one season. It's really over 2 or 3 years where you really see that coming to the fore. And, like, you take some guy coming out of minor now, right? Let's say if he's not on a good S&C program and working on that, right? Well, he's going to find it. He's going to have to be nearly exceptionally good, right, to break into an inter-county squad, because you just get murdered, right? Now, we didn't see, as you said, the physicality and the intensity probably over these two, but look what's coming down the track here, right? Look at Wexford and Galway coming the weekend. Look at possibly, like Tip and Limerick would say, the physicality in that middle third. You're going to see savagery at its absolute best, I would say, in the middle third this coming weekend, because there's big prizes at stake. But absolutely, in the modern game, inter-county, that resource, the S&C, the best people out there, the video analysis, I'm going to come back to that in a second, right? And let's say all the coaching and nearly a PR machine as well, Dale, I was mentioned last night. That's what you need behind the modern day inter-county setup. And it has to be all shoulders to the wheel, everyone looking for the same thing. And if you're not, you're going to be chasing your tail here for a while. The point I was going to make there was, I would imagine, Dale, last night and this morning, the analytics in Tip, right, in Portrose this morning and this system, like, The one of the things about Limerick is the system won't overly change, right? Maybe an extra pass around that middle third or whatever. It won't overly change for Sheedy. So it will be interesting to see what these guys come with after the Munster final last year. Now being All-Ireland champions, like, there's going to be a little bit of a clash of styles here. I did see one or two things. I think we touched on it in the pod early on for puck outs changed. Brian Hogan was hitting them with a lot of highs and different things. Tip were definitely trying things with an eye on, I'd say, these type of games coming down the track. So I think tactically, what's coming on Sunday will be interesting and what Tip brings to the table.
Yeah, just
yeah, Derek, I would have seen, you know, just before you go in there, like, I wouldn't, as I said, I would have had Peter Casey, Kyle Hayes, a couple of them, but even Jerome Boylan, who I mentioned earlier, came on, like, fellas used to be saying to me, sure, what are they doing? Like, you can't have young lads lifting weights at 14. And I said, no, but he's lifting a sweeping brush handle and he's been shown how to do it correctly.
Yeah.
And he's been shown how to squat correctly. And it's just a technique. It's not, he's not squatting with two weights up here, if you know what I mean, on his shoulder. He's just been shown that when he does develop into 15, 16, and there's a little bit of weight added, he's doing things professionally, 100%. I don't think that's going on in Clare anyway. And I can only speak for Clare.
Yeah, and look, I think it's been an accept for years, or years, 3-4 years ago, if you talk about this, it's nearly frowned upon by people in terms of strategic planning. As they say, you can't plan like this, you know, kind of almost a business template. Even if you look at what Cork have done, possible succession plans at minor under 20, senior, Kieran Kingston at senior, Pat Ryan and the boys at 20, Don Logue at minor, all the way down to Noel Furlong on the boys. You know, clear pathway in place, almost the model of the Limerick model. You know, you can't talk about it without the influence, I suppose, of Sporting Limerick or JP or Tenio in terms of the Tipperary model as well. That's the template. Now, it's difficult to compete with that unless you can, you know, resource it. But it's not that difficult to plan for functional behaviours of young lads between 14 and 18 in terms of strategic planning, S&C-wise. And I know Waterford have begun that particular process now. Over the last, I suppose, 6-7 months, the strategic review into, you know, the whole setup. Kind of almost a model of the Carbro-Callaghan kind of process where you can have someone in charge of that overall, you know, process of analysis. And but I think we've changed. I think people have changed their opinion around that. They've begun to realise that this is what's necessary. Plus, I think they've begun to realise that there's a certain amount of patience needed in that. That, you know, years ago, if I stood in my club AGM and I said, look, the game is about tactical notes, it's about flexibility, it's about S&C, it's about lifestyle, it's about life lessons, they'd laugh at you. They'd laugh at you 6 or 7 years ago. But now, when you're in front of a group of young lads, even in here for the White Cup inside in school here at 15, they want to be shown the right way. And I think they thrive on the information. I got a lot of stick last year over saying that young lads thrive on information. I think if it can be imparted in a way that still makes it fun and still has the crack, and I think that's the key thing to it, where fellas can still, by learning, they can still enjoy the whole process of learning, if you like. And I think that's the key thing to it, I suppose. You know, but it's the process has started in Waterford. I'm not sure about Clare, Anthony. I know you referred to it this morning. You know, is it starting there or where is it at? We're probably playing catch-up to the rest of the counties in that regard.
Yeah, well, I would say that Cork have tried on a number of occasions to get this. I was involved with the development squad 7 or 8 years ago, directly against the likes of Cian Lynch and Colin Ryan and those lads, Barry Nash, Ronan Lynch. And I remember Declan Fitzgerald, who did a good bit of work on coaching teams and coaching Cork underage teams, was a school teacher down in Castle Troy, I think, off the top of my head. Yeah, and he used to tell me that the lads would be in at 7 o'clock in the morning, and they were 14 or 17 years of age, they were in because they were in different programs. And they walked the model around the secondary school because that's where the kid is going to be most of the time for kind of 7 or 8 months of the year. And I thought, like, that took some time and effort to get that. Now, that instruction obviously came from a higher level within the Limerick County Board, and they're the people that should be complimented for what they have done, whether that is JP or, you know, McMahon, whoever the guys behind the scenes are there that are running it. They're the real people that actually have created this. Dale, you've been involved. You know who the people are behind it. But it definitely is a way forward.
I'd say, and TJ, no, like, a certain amount of power was given to Joe McKenna, TJ, and he did the job. Do you know, he mightn't be Mr. Personality all his life. I'd be mad about him now as well, though. We're loads of rows about how things should be done. But talk about an interest in maybe where Limerick will go and changing it up. from previous decades and saying this is not going to keep, you know, staying the same. We're changing it here.
Yeah, without a doubt. They changed it from the right area. They kind of built it from the foundation up and got the youngsters right. The only thing, I suppose, the elephant in the room, Dale, was the finance behind it, right? These guys, like, it takes that. And as I said, that's where, like, I know, like, saying the football scenarios, people give all about Dublin and having the finance. Like, these tools are available to them at all times. They're building it up. Like, I was just to go back on Clare, and this is not a pick on Clare weekend, but they're under 20s again the other night. Just strength and conditioning-wise, they probably looked. It was a difficult job for Sean Doyle. Sean's a good guy. He actually coached Gary Spillane for a couple of years. And, you know, I mean, they played very well early on. But again, physically, they looked to be behind the curve. And unless you fix that, and that takes time, and it will take a lot of time. And, you know, for counties, we'll say, I suppose they're trying to get up there on a regular basis and stay up there. You have to do that now. And as I said, it just takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of patience. It takes a vision with everybody. Everybody will say, whether it's the supporters club, the county board, all these management teams, nearly a director of hurling and basically somebody guiding that ship to make sure that, like, everyone's heading in the right direction. And you won't get instant results, but you will pay dividends down the road, whether it's a club or a county scenario.
Yeah, Mark alluded to it. Like, I do believe that there's wealthy people in nearly all our counties across the globe who have a massive grow, really wealthy people now, up there with Mark Lander's standard. Like, I know you are a very wealthy man, Mark, but I'm not putting you in that category yet. No,
did you? You're gone from the bank a long time, Dale.
I know.
I'll
tell you one thing, we never had it as good, had we? But I lads, I just think that there's people out there, and I just thinking of Clare people that they just wouldn't get involved at the moment with the way they see things maybe being run. And I, you know, I think if they thought there could be, there's a bit of separation in Limerick between the board and that group, TJ. There's a bit of autonomy there. They demanded the Saturdays, no club fixtures at underage, and they got it. And would that be ceded in other counties by the power brokers? I'm not so sure. And I think that, we'd nearly need three shows to go into it. And I don't want to be insulting people either, because everyone's a volunteer at that level. But I just think they need the backup and they need the want there from their boards. And the other thing with that as well is, the year that's in it, I think, lads, everyone kind of has a bit of a pass. Like, Brian had a great committee, Club Clare, behind him set up. And we were to, in conjunction with the 25 years from 95, we were to have two massive fundraisers, one in the West County in Ennis and one in the Four Seasons in Dublin. And they were sold out. Like, and but of course, the whole thing went belly up. Like, they were to be on in April, and they would have given a massive injection maybe to, and they weren't just for the senior team. They were for Club Clare, you know, hurling, and they were to be filtered down along to the structure. So maybe that's something that will come in time. But we could be talking about that all day, lads. Quickie on the two games, lads, before. Sorry, Mark.
Just before you move away from that now, right? Michael Dignan has showed you the way. That's all I'll say now. And I'll leave it at that now.
Yeah, but we're talking about a team in the Christy Ring there now. With due respect to them, we know how great a county they've been like. But you get in Mick Finley and you're in the Christy Ring, and you will have a great chance of winning it now, let's face it.
I think, as
you said last week, you're the only county that wasn't affected by the lockdown of minor and under 20 was your own county, because you were beaten in both. So, you know, sometimes you have to grab the nettle before it actually hits the floor.
Yeah, or sometimes when you're on the floor, the only way is up.
Correct. Well, that's awfully situation. But I would say, Dale, as you wrote this morning, if you took Tony Kelly out of the Clare team yesterday, where are we going?
Where's the next step?
Dale, I think Mark was referring to Anthony Daly becoming the next county board chairman. I think that's the path he was going with there.
Was he? No. I'll tell you one thing. I text him when he was going for it. I says, "Have you lost your marbles, kid?" Like, county boy. I wouldn't do the club chairman thing. Like, you know, that would be fairness. Like, oh Jesus, no, I couldn't. No, they're just, you just see it so long to change them.
Yeah, but I said you can probably win through what you're just saying there now, Anthony. Like, and I'm being dead serious with you here now. Of all the fellas that is in your county, you know, you've captained Clare to win two All-Irelands, You carry a massive amount of respect within your own county. And when you go outside, we give you a bit of respect as well. Now, to be fair, like, we do invite you down to Cork and leave you in for a night or two.
Yeah, I think on that basis, I might consider the Dáil rather than the Clare County Board.
You call it Alan Dillon?
Yeah, I tell you. To be Andy or number, wouldn't it? Independent backbencher.
Hey, Della, I see
behind Connor the Healy Rays and let him off.
Hey, you can get Conor Moore to do your what's called.
There's a couple of things I wanted to ask you about there, like yesterday. And is that an APRA match crack with Conor Moore, lads? Is that welcome in our game?
Yes, Della, absolutely, 100%.
I know I was going to get no mercy there. Like.
No need for Michael Jordan in this one, but the Davy Fitz sketch was just, that'll have to be, Larry, would you play us out with the Davy Fitz one today?
Yeah, I actually thought it was a bit bold as well with everything that's happened with RT. I thought the Brawley one was excellent as well. Like,
very good, very good. Yeah.
And I'm recovering from all these baitings every morning as well, which is great. You know, that's the beauty of Gerard leaving on Kieran Whelan's football gloves. Kind of shielding the blow, you know what I mean? Well, lads, what about the crowd noise and stuff like that, Derek, and the yellow slitters? And I haven't watched both games now. Sky were a bit off with the timing.
I think the timing was an issue on Saturday night, you know. But I having watched the soccer over the last couple of weeks, you know, I became used to the kind of the crowd noise with Sky, if you like. And I was kind of, you know, I was testing the waters on Saturday evening, and the timing was horrendous, to be honest with you, in terms of, you know, even Keane Boland's first point. If there's a hurling person in charge of the timing, you're getting ready nearly straight away, even though it's from the sideline, you're kind of saying that nothing came, and it came about 15 seconds later, this crowd noise came for Keane Boland's first point. Ahead of Sunday, I was kind of more interested, could I pick up on the communication between all the players and what was being said from the line, and could you pick up on any even expletives from the line, or could you pick up on anything? And I found that kind of off-putting as well, if I'm completely honest. No more than the bell in the background of the school is off-putting for you now, listen to hear.
Get back to your break.
Perfectly timed. I'll tell you how bad my internet is when I have to come into school during the midterm break. But look, I was in between on the noise. I nearly prefer if Sky had if the timing was right in the noise, I prefer some sort of noise stimulation in the background. You know, that would kind of give you a chance to do both. But that's probably looking from the slitter's point of view. I was probably on the fence on the slitters initially with the traditional approach with the white slitter. I then kind of watched the under 20 game between Tip and Dare, the one where the pint went over the bar off the sideline court. And I began thinking about the science behind the yellow slitter, or even being able to see it in an awkward situation going inside the post with the white posts, etc. So I'm actually coming around to the idea that the slitter is not a hindrance in any way. And, you know, I'm actually happy to kind of go back on my earlier kind of estimation that the slitter would kind of stick to the traditional slitter. My thing with the slitter was that it wasn't rolled out early enough for the lads, even during, you know, they didn't, you know, it wasn't just, it didn't become part and parcel of what they were doing early enough. It just came all of a sudden. But I'd have no issue with the slitter, given the scores that were accumulated over the weekend. You'd have to say it looks like a quick slitter anyway, you know?
Yeah. I think, like, if we're bringing in the crowd noise, Mac, we should just decide to leave it off to offer Wexford and Galway and have a microphone down around the line there somewhere.
I'd say it could be exceptional now this weekend. But I picked up on the Mayo Tyrone game yesterday in watching the highlights. The amount of communication that went on, and every time that Tyrone got a goal, you could hear about 15 of their players bowling it into the Mayo fellas, like, you know, and I think that the fact that the crowds, that there is no noise in the background of the crowd, there's going to be fair stick, I think, from players to players when this game starts to hot up as the year continues, you know?
Yeah. Okay, sure. Look, it'll be a call for the broadcasters, I suppose, to make whether they do that. The Slitters is here to stay, I presume. We just get on with it now. People were complaining about it, but sure, look, I didn't see too much wrong with the white either, I have to say, under the lights, but anyway, I don't think it make a huge difference. Dublin, lads and Leash, we won't go overboard on it. It was as we predicted, I suppose, and revenge was on the minds. And yet I got a feeling from a lot of my friends on WhatsApp groups and that like one of my great friends, and he'd be a great student of the game, like said, Kilkenny will destroy him. I don't see that. I was very impressed with the two Burkes. Obviously, Donal speaks for himself with what he scored and nailed all the frees, took his goal superbly. But I thought Conor Burke, a sweeper, was very, very good. And he's a fella I've watched at, with DCU doing that. Very comfortable doing it. Very good ball player. Great vision. I think him sitting behind TJ Reid. And if O'Donnell, if Owen O'Donnell can do a job on Finlay, now look, that's easier said than done. But Owen O'Donnell, lads, is to me one of the best fullbacks in the game, one of the best defenders in the game. And we'll all probably be going for a Kilkenny win, but I don't think it's as clear cut as saying Kilkenny destroy Dublin.
No, I was impressed with them, Dello. I thought their structure was good. I thought in the main, their use of the ball was exceptionally good. They were trying to do the right thing. I think the positioning of Crummie at centre forward is a big plus. He's a big man. His shape, his physicality, he brings a lot to the table. Given the, I suppose, the other forwards and this pace that they have and what they bring to the table, I think they needed something like a Chris Crummie up there. When they don't have a Keeney or, let's say, a Liam Rush in a certain 15, there's a lot of positives there. Like 2:31, and I know you might say, right, that the game, they had to run their game, but it's still a fair scoreline to put up in a game, 2:31. So, again, huge score. I know Limerick people are gone with Limerick's 36 points, but 2:31 is a fair score too. No, in a game that they lost last year.
Yeah.
They had the extra spice now, to be fair. And I suppose the revenge was the big one. But I thought that their hurling was outstanding as well. I thought the physicality. Look, I think you'll get that from most Dublin teams, and they're going to be physical. And they were physical the other night. And every time a player, a Dublin defender in particular, got the ball, he wanted to break the challenge and get through the next man. And that's something that they'll have to do against Kilkenny next weekend. They will have to match physicality with physicality. But I thought they matched it with hurling as well. I thought their hurling was excellent. And just coming back to Donald Burke, Dale, the freeze and all that, geez, he struck a couple of magnificent points from play as well. Like, I mean, the one that he struck off his left-hand side out over the Cusick stand side with a half a hurley. I mean, yeah. Jodine at the last that I see to get a score like that, a little bit of a scoop over the bar. Lovely wrist now. But, you know, I thought overall Dublin were impressive. I mean, yes, we'll probably be going for Kilkenny, but they're going to, and the game will stand to them. I've no doubt that both Limerick and Dublin, the game will stand to them going into the match next weekend.
Yeah, and Derek, Matty definitely putting his own stamp on it. Mm. Second year, no Keeney on the bench, no Paul Ryan on the bench, no David Tracy on the bench. I mean, I still think if you were manager, a lot of us would be tempted to say we'll have him in the 26 anyway. But he made a statement. He said, no, didn't make 26.
Yeah.
He won't travel with us.
Yeah, and even Mark Shuti and Eamon Dillon not getting on the team. Liam Rush, who looked, I've never seen him look as trim actually when he came on Saturday. He even looked in serious nick. So, hasn't where he wanted. The interesting thing for me will be, given the fact that Leash played with seven, they indirectly gave Conor Burke, you know, the opportunity to sweep. It'll be whether or not he'll change it now to the a system he used to play with Cool at times, which is, you know, with Sean Warren sitting. So he might go with Conor Burke and then he gets someone to mark TJ with five forwards and as such. So that'll be the interesting thing. He'll have to get the TJ Reid matchup right. I think we spoke earlier about Kiley not caring about what Tony Kelly was doing, but I think Dublin are be wise enough to actually go man-to-man with TJ and Colin Findlay. You know, I think Owen O'Donnell is as good an option as anyone in the country to go man-to-man with Findlay, you know, and Findlay can hurt anyone, regardless of the opponent he's on. So what they'll do with TJ Reid, you know, and whether they'll change it up slightly to allow Conor Burke to sit, he might even sit from wing-back, you know, tuck in from wing-back, if you like. So that'll be the interesting thing for me. But Dublin hugely impressive. And as I said, what often gets overlooked, I think you mentioned it yourself last week, Dublin got out of the Leinster Championship last year. No, which is, you know, I think most bookies would have presented Wexford, Galway and Kilkenny as the favourites to come out with that round robin last year. Dublin got out and they're remembered almost for losing to Leash down in Port Leash in a memorable game for Leash. But,
and Derek, you know, and Derek, over the 2 years of the round robin, they've been tremendously competitive against Galway, Wexford and Kilkenny. Like.
Yeah, go back to Pat Gilroy's first game in Parnell Park, Halo, against Kilkenny. I think Liam Blanchfield got a goal near the end of it. Kilkenny were in control of that. Or Dublin were in control of that game all the way through. That's come at the end of it. So you're definitely right. You know, it's and look, they look to have that bit of, you know, that free. As Mark said, their hurling was good. As well as the way they were set up and structured, their hurling was very crisp. And No, Croke Park, I'd still be giving them a fair chance on Saturday, or, and we'll all probably be found wanting. And we'll still end up contradicting ourselves by saying Kenny will win it. But, you know, we're making a case for everyone here. But, you know, I think if Dublin can get to the pitch of it early, and if they can hold DJ and Colin, they'll go some way towards having a chance, you know.
Yeah, and I suppose, look, yeah, we look ahead, and I suppose it would be wrong not to look ahead. First of all, I mentioned Donal Burke there. Larry, you're sitting proudly at the top of the our podcast leaderboard. Yeah, excuse me there now, Killa. Could you stay out of this for a second there?
I just want to get in before you start talking about it. Like yourself, Larry spent about 2 months reading the rules.
Well, like, you know, normally, if you're entering a competition, you have a quick look at the rules anyway, wouldn't you?
Some amount of manipulation. There'll have to be a question mark over the transfer market yesterday morning or Saturday morning, early now. Well, produce Donal Burke, right? Yeah. From 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock on a Saturday, there'll have to be a Stewards inquiry.
Well, like, the closing time for changing your team was 4 o'clock, and we'll say the conductor of the orchestra, Mr. Ryan, there, said, Dalo, who'll hit the freeze? Because Paul Ryan obviously wasn't named. And at 1:31, I checked it. I said, has to be Donal Burke. And Larry right. just swapped. I presume that's all you did, Larry. You just took off Paul Ryan and put in Donal Burke.
Yeah, fair play, Dalo. Fair play. You gave me that one. I saw you were.
The war is over with Tipping Clare, Larry.
It looks like it. It looks like it, yeah. Never let it be said. Like, never let it
you
be
had
said.
The option, Macklanders, and TJ had the option. But you were probably too busy now buying a three-year-old mayor from France or something like that. You know, you're only laughing at this crack, like, you know. But you are Mark on 70 points.
Well, like, Gaila, it's like every now, right? Today or yesterday, the last weekend was only just, you know, a warm-up session, like, you know. So I love to see fellas going off to the front there, right? But this is a marathon, not a sprint, Gaila.
Well, I said that as well, though, in a comment on Twitter. And but at the same time, Larry's 214 will add up at the end of the day, the same as your 70. Like,
yeah, but I've got 8 teams coming next weekend, and I'm happy enough, and I won't be changing any of my numbers right at the debt, like, you know.
That's fine, Dalo. I see you weren't throwing out Carl Malone to anybody there. He was listed as a defender, wasn't he?
It wasn't a sneaky one. No, it wasn't. Cahill been known as a forward and actually played midfield, so I can get the real value out of it. Really, I thought he'd be up wing forward. He had a good game midfield. One of Cahill's best game midfield. In fairness, now Mark and Keane Lynch thought he did a good job. Clipped over, let the ball in for, got 2 points. Let the ball in for the goal. Great ball across. Delighted for him now because he's a very hard worker and he gets a bit of shtick maybe the people saying, should he be there, shouldn't he be there? But God, I thought in the overall yesterday, he was one of Tony's main guys. Yeah, congrats so far to Paddy Ahern from Ballinderrin. Paddy, 237 and 242 is leading the overall score as well. Like, so that's some shooting. And I think that's on the Examiner Pods listeners league. And we have two of the top four of the overall. So lads, you're not listening to us. Fair play. You're doing your own thing, which is great. And you know, we have a little prize there for the winners, and fair play to Butler's Hurleys in Kilkenny. And they probably say it over there. They'd say Butler's Hurls. But we're saying Hurleys. Derek, are you Hurleys as well down Waterford?
Hurleys, yeah.
Yeah, we're all Hurleys, aren't we?
Yeah,
we're all Hurleys, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dad gave us a bit of grief about the Munster podcast show on tomorrow morning. So we better get Hoagie back for next week.
Come here, Dale, just a question there. The fact that you've named your team Murty's Gang, does that mean that there's just more than yourself picking the team? Like, have you squalified?
Mark, I wouldn't have the same success now that you've had in the equestrian world with Getaway Queen. But I owned a greyhound one time called Murty's Gang. The name of the pub is Murty Brown's, right? It was myself, my brother Michael, and one of our best friends, both myself and Michael, Tom Howard, who I won 5 championships with Clarecastle. And we called the dog Murty's Gang, and he was never, ever beaten up the field in 20 runs, Mark. Bringing home the Derby Castle in 2002 from Clonmel. A great greyhound, by I'll tell you.
No. That's long in the memory of
it. Oh, well, it's a once-in-a-lifetime probably thing. And he went off to stud in for about 5 years. Like, it was like Man About Dog. Like, he just went off the stud, and he had some 5 or 6 years of life of little puppies being brought down to him from the north of Ireland, from North Kerry, and little female puppies, and he having his way with them in George galleries, and the owners of those female puppies paying us.
That's
an absolutely sweet time in life, I'll have to say. It was before the last crash, if you know what I mean. No wonder we were in Cheltenham every year.
And the back of
up. Oh, stop, sure.
Were you trying to set up a mini Coolmore or something down there, Dale, or what was it?
Well, and like I tell you, he produced two great sons as well, then Murty's Blaze and Murty's Destiny. They both went to the Champion Stakes final in Clonmel, which would be for the older dogs, and they went to stud as well. And we sure look at like all good things that come sending, I suppose. And
do we just call you John Magnum out from
Noah? No, that is absolutely you. You didn't get the result on that 3 o'clock in Galway yesterday, you wanted that, did you?
We got the black type, that's the important thing. Grand three.
Okay. Or once you was in the first three.
Black type is all we wanted. I have the half sister.
So, and is she in foal?
She's in foal, the Spanish moon, which means she'd have a three parts brother or sister to Grand Rye. Who was so
that puts the foal of Stirling. That puts the price of the foal from what value to what value, approximately?
The COVID now could hit us, so it's a bit strange. Like, you know, we'll have to wait now to see the market will adjust itself, but we're in pole position, I'll say. A handy bit of work.
Why did I think I'd get a straight answer to that question? I have no idea why I even asked
it. TJ Reid is, or TJ Ryan is giving me the bit of advice in the background. He says, whatever you do, he says, when Dalo asks you any of those questions, tell him nothing, he says.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine him as well. Yeah, you're looking like the two of you, only for the Galty Mountain separating you. You might as well be living together, the two of you. Yeah. Lads, we often talk about the weekend of the All-Ireland semi-finals being like a festival of hurling. I was against the idea initially, the Saturday and the Sunday, and we were losing out in the weekend. But geez, I thought it was a great success for the last 2 years. We had it all to ourselves. But geez, I know the football is starting next weekend, lads, but we nearly have it all to ourselves next weekend. But what a four match. And unfortunately, Mark, we will have to have the laptop on and one and the television on with the clash. But geez, lads, Tipperary and Limerick alone, Wexford and Galway alone, like Cork and Waterford alone. And we have referred to, we've given the Dubs a shout against Kilkenny on the basis of their performance. Where do we start? I suppose we'd have to look at the All-Ireland champions against the Munster champions. Like, I mean, quickly, we won't spend all day now because, you know, I suppose we've a nice bit of ground covered. But like Tip will bring a whole lot more than Clare brought in terms of the depth. Like these 20s, going for three in a row, we'd say 2021s, and these guys probably won't start, a lot of them. That's fair. Like, they would start with Clare, lads, I tell you, if we had them.
Yeah. Savage match, I would say, coming down the track here, because like, the winners here into a Munster final and a step further down the track. Just to touch on what you said there, Dale, there's four matches on. The four favourites, like Cork are favourites to beat Waterford, Kilkenny strong favourites to beat Dublin, Galway are favourites to beat Wexford, and Limerick are favourites 8-11, 11-8 to beat Tipperary. As we all know in sport, that's the four favourites. You don't normally get four out of four. There is a surprise lurking in there somewhere, wherever your opinion might lie. But and it's hard to know which is even to pick at them. Like Galway Wexford is just very, very difficult to call as well. But to touch on Limerick and Tip, I think tactically it'll be huge early doors here, Dale. We won't have the advantage of being there. I thought the camera angle yesterday could have been a little bit better at times from RTE, trying to see who's playing where, who's picking up who. And I suppose we rely on the experts, I suppose, in the studio to tell us exactly what's going on sometimes. But I'm just trying to come up with... I was at the Munster final last year where things didn't go at all Liam Sheedy's way and they ended up taking a hiding. What are Tipperary going to do different? I'm sure they'll have Limerick well studied. Limerick's team will be more or less as played. There won't be any major changes there. So it'll be interesting to see what way Tip line out. But a cracking game in store, yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing co-commentary for that, TJ, so I'll be cognizant of your comments there and I'll try and fill you in. I think there was the amount of restrictions yesterday, TJ, in terms of the whole thing, like the meeting beforehand, you know, there'd be about a 40-minute meeting, as Derek would know, about just what are we doing and where are we highlighting. And like we all had to sit nearly 4 metres apart in the stand. Rory O'Neill was nearly roaring at us. You know, like... between everybody in the crew, you know, from cameras and what areas to pick up on in the warm-up. And then I don't know if that's a factor on the camera work. I saw that commented on last night. I don't know. There definitely was a high behind, was there, Derek?
But Brendan Cummins showed a high behind on Sunday end. Yeah. So I presume, yeah. And some of the replays.
Yeah, so to be hard, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe no, I don't know. But just, I'd say that maybe, I don't think there was anybody up on high, if you know what I mean. You know, the old commentary box that DJ and Turles.
Yeah, there was anybody
up there, really. You know, maybe local radio now, but don't look great. He was over on the Ardán O'Rean side. And it was lower, I think. Larry, maybe helping us out there. There was a lower angle. Yeah. I think the camera work was lower. Like, it was over from us. We were kind of on the 45-yard line was the outdoor studio. And then right kind of in the middle of the field, there was a camera stanchion with a cameraman there. So, yeah, different. I don't know. It could be restrictions, yeah. But look, maybe, like, look, they'll all be looking to improve anyway. Yeah, I think this is a massive one. I have a slight inkling for Tip on this. I think they've been waiting for this, and I think Liam might feel that if they lose another one to Limerick, even though they might meet later on in the year again, that it might have a psychological effect. So I think he'd be desperately anxious to lay down a marker. And I'm not so sure Kylie'd be in bits if he lost it. You know,
I don't know. I wouldn't look for me, history is against Tipperary is the first thing, anyway. The second thing is they won't do back to back. I don't know what you're talking about. We're only in the Munster here, but like...
I was going to say that 28 All-Irelands won, like...
back-to-back.
Yeah.
But for me, the two McGraths getting beaten in two county finals, and I saw Noel McGrath going to the ground and bawling his eyes out. They're All-Ireland champions. Winning that last year after getting beaten in Munster was a massive, massive fill-up. I'm just wondering how much is left in the tank for those lads, Patrick Mayer as well. Like, I just wonder, and I think what I saw at Limerick yesterday, they'll bring it to Tip next weekend. And it depends. Like, I'd expect the Limerick will lead and get out of the boxes quick. And I'm just wondering, like, is Tullis didn't have a great season either, but that might have been.
Started
after the All-Ireland final last, just so they've got an opportunity maybe to refill the tank.
Yeah.
But they've been to the well a long time. Part of me has been to the well an awful long time. I just have a sneaky feeling. I think Limerick will want to continue. They'll want to keep winning, get to a Munster final. You win your Munster final, you'll be in All-Ireland semi-final, cut out all the backdoor stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, we it'll unfold and we'll go for somebody and we'll be right or wrong or whatever. But I think we're in for an epic, and I actually think if the round robin, as we know it, Munster went ahead, I'm not so sure Tip would have come out of the group. I think this is after working for them. I think Liam will really be saying, can we dig ourselves up for four massive ones?
Four matches.
You know,
I think traditionally, Anthony, that's what he's done. He's really, I made a reference to this last week. He's normally has his team really well prepped for that kind of one-off game. You know, if you go back to his first game in Tartty, even when he came back last year in the league against Clare, albeit a league game in Turles on a Saturday night, he had his team ravenous. His team against Cork down in Parky Queen last year, ravenously savage in their approach, and they'll have to be savage. The other thing for Don Coyde is, we talked already about his not having to concentrate on Kelly, but when you have Bonner, you have Bubbles, you have Shamie Cannon, you have Jason Ford, you have John McGrath, it's different in terms of how they can hurt you. Like, they are assassins, every one of them. And you put into the mix there, the fellas who get no credit with Tip, I find, Dan McCormack, the Milo Maris. These are kind of, it's actually an insult to call them workhorses. You know, they're not even working, they're serious hurlers themselves. So I think it's a different challenge, but I think Coyle will be aware of that. And even reading some of his remarks this morning, he spoke about, we knew where we wanted to get to. I said, I'd imagine we're setting themselves targets, you know, ahead of it. So, look, I said it last week, I fancy Tip, maybe Limerick to come in the back door, but then I was thinking, then the losers of Wexford and Galway, and the losers of Cork and Waterford, and the losers of Dublin and Kilkenny. You know, it's a minefield, you know, in terms of the, you know, the cross-pollination. I think it's still Leinster-Munster if you lose a match. Is it still the draw, Leinster-Munster? I think it is anyway.
Yeah.
You know, the losers of Leinster-Munster. So that might give the it might give you a route back, but the meeting the losers at Galway and Wexford will be no easy task for whoever loses, and you know, if they were unlucky enough to draw one of those. So it's, the incentive is huge, but I just think, not the Sheedy factor, but I just think Tip will be ready for it, you know. And the other thing I think it's a factor, and maybe just looking at it on the telly yesterday, I thought it was a little slower than normal yesterday. The field looked pristine, looked great, but I think Cork is a quicker pitch. I think the new Party Cueve is a quicker pitch. You know, I think Anthony Pocombe this year for Tip and Cork down in the league in on a winter night, and the speed of the game on a new pitch. So I think that, I think it'll suit the Tip forward, but I also think it'll suit Limerick's game as well. So I just have an inkling for Tip being ready.
Yeah, Cork is the very same as Croke Park. No, lad, it's just that kind of semi-artificial grass. It's grass, but it's a different breed of grass for some reason. And the ball, it's bone dry. It doesn't matter if we get a deluge Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it'll be bone dry. And the draining system now is such in place, so we will have a lightning ball.
Derek, I was just going to just ask you there, if you were Liam Sheedy and tactically after the Munster final last year, right, and you're facing what we've all known is pretty much the way that Limerick play day in, day out. I'm just saying, is there a rabbit in the hat here or something that you could see that maybe we can look out for on Sunday?
I'd be thinking about this. You know, if you look at last year, remember Dalo doing the pre-match analysis on it, actually, and we were talking about it during the week because we talked about Kyle Hayes playing right up on Pádraig Mar, if you remember. We were saying that Kyle Hayes might, as opposed to coming deep, and he got the goal from that, he was right up on it, and the space that supplement that normally would be there for Hayes, Peter Casey came out in that place. So I think the Bonner factor is different there. I think what you might see Bonner playing right up on Declan Hannan, or right up on Dermot Burns even, you know, and then giving him, you know, I remember the 2016 Munster final, we got an awful pouncing in or pummeling in, and we were surprised by Bonner that day. He kind of went right up on Tuig, right up on top of him, almost, not in the lower core, but Tommy Wells situation, but taking right up on top of him, and it was very hard to kind of control. So I'd say, I think Tip will be very direct, and I think you'll see the Dan McCormick and the Niall O'Mara's of the world trying to go, you know, almost double up on Garrod Hegarty and Tom Morrissey, if you like, and they'll be doing the tracking there, McCormick, and they'll make it a war zone out there, but they'll be hoping that they can Ford and Callan and maybe Bonner down the centre and Don McGrath can do the hurling, if you like. So I don't know. I still think Tip will want to keep that defence solid. The other decision they made last year was they put Brendan Maher back corner back on Gillan, I think,
They did, Derek, but that's because Kyle Barrett missed the game, actually.
Paul Barrett missed the game. So I think, you know, that they'll obviously have Brendan Maher out. Like, if you're preparing for Limerick this week, you're saying, right, Hegarty got 5 points from play, Morrissey got 4 points from play, Hayes got 3 points from play. So the question is how do you stay zonal and yet mark them? You know what I mean? I know that's the question for every manager. I say, when do you not go? Like, you know, because Hegarty picks up a load of ball nearly 30 yards from his goal. You know, if a right cornerback comes out, invariably Hegarty is nearly there as a right half forward, picking it up 30 yards from the goal, from the home goal. You know, so there's going to be a team that will go with them all the way, but yet are able to anchor someone back the whole thing. You know what I mean? So maybe Tip will go that route. But I think Bonner will have a big role in terms of maybe just being a kind of disruptive force, you know, on the Limerick tackle.
It's intriguing, lads, and what a mouth-watering one. Mark, you've no chance against Waterford.
No, you're great. One match over. I will lay down with injuries. Half the defence is gone with no chance. But as again, it will be all laid on the forwards' hands. I'd say Dale offered to get a result against Waterford. Like you have the same fellas, Shamie Hannity, Huggy, Kingston, Cadigan, Lahan. They'll probably all start the big decisions whether Dickie Dalton starts or not. Robbie Flynn is out due to his suspension last
That's
year.
That's awful, isn't it? That suspension thing.
But at the time, you know, it's just the rules. Like, I mean,
no, but Jesus.
It carries over to another season. But look, you could skull a fill in one season and be forgotten about next season. But no. I think, you know, that's the reason why the rule was brought in, is to stop fellas sculling fellas at the end of the season. Like, but
we don't associate Robbie O'Flynn with sculling fellas. Like,
no. But I've played with a few fellas. I've played against a few fellas, and we take a liberty in November, December, Dale.
TJ.
And hopefully it should be all forgotten, shake hands after the game, so we'll see you again.
Go for a pint of joy, would.
Yeah. And of course at the back, you know, the big question is going to who's going to play 3 and 6, I think, for Cork. And it looks as Damien Cahalan will probably be 3, I'd say, and Rob Downey will be at 6. So, Tim Manny could be 6, but I hope they'll play Downey there because I think he's... I'd be bending him in.
He's on Cadigan out now.
Yeah, he won't be playing. And Cullum, it'll be down between Cullum Spillane and Niall O'Leary to be playing in the other corner, I'd say. Sean O'Donoghue will be in one corner. And then it'll be Niall O'Leary and Cullum Spillane. No, maybe Spillane will play corner and Niall O'Leary go wing back, and that would release Mark Coleman to midfield.
Yeah,
they'd be the only kind of things I would say. But again, like, you're shuffling the same players. Like, I don't see, there's nobody new in there, or barring Daunton potentially. So, like,
what about Jack? Is Jack O'Connor a possibility?
He played very well against Clare in the practice match, 2-4 from play. But the question mark there, they think he's too light, I suppose. And it's, look,
I heard from my Galway fella that he played very well against Galway as well.
Yeah, like, and look, maybe this is for another podcast, like, but I mean, I'm in firmly in the camp of the physicality side of things, that we need to be picking the likes of Michael O'Halloran from Blackrock at corner forward rather than a Jack O'Connor from Sales, in my opinion, because in terms of physicality, they're chalk and cheese. And I do believe going into a winter championship, you need a stronger, more physical player. And, you know, when I look at two players they brought in from the club championship, Alan Connolly and Shane Ballard, both of them under 20. Alan Connolly's only 19, two light lads. And the two outstanding players for me in the club championship were Niall Cashman from Blackrock and James O'Flynn from Aaron's Own. Two, both centre-backs in their own club. And we're crying out for backs, and neither of the two of them got a call. Now, that just makes no sense to me as far as I'm concerned. So there's a whole mindset change. We're looking at smaller, lighter, faster players. I'm not in that camp. I'm in the more physical, strong guys that can move as well at the same time.
Yeah, we'll see how that pans out the weekend, I suppose, and that's the intriguing thing. Derek, what's the mood like below?
Yeah, I think naturally expectations were lowered on the back of Coring's injury, I suppose, you know, and I think that's, now that they've dealt with it, I think that's kind of probably helped in terms of, I think Waterford are in a good place, but seem to be very happy. Like we alluded to last week, you don't tend to ask about it too much, you know. I know they played Kilkenny in a challenge, they played Leach in a challenge, and played Wexford in challenge matches, you know, so they played three good matches, apparently went well in two of the three matches. You know, I said, I hung Kevin out the dry last week, but I didn't say I was talking to him, but he's hoping to play Kilkenny. And to be honest, I never even asked him how it went. He just said it was a good game, and I never kind of said to him what was the score or whatever. Because I don't know why you do that, but I just, it was kind of a weirdness, I suppose, but you don't even ask him. So he seemed to be really happy where they are, very happy with the training. And I think we are a very dangerous team now because, you know, I think the media expectations are that there's a freshness, it's a new team. I still make out there'll probably be 10 guys that were involved in the 17 All-Ireland final starting. Like, I still, you know, 9 now with Coring not involved. I still think you'll have Tyke back, and Tyke has had a full club championship behind him where he was outstanding now in the club championship. Really, really outstanding. And I think you'll have a half-back line at Dara Fyfe, Tyke and Kevin Moore, and you have a bit of experience there. And you have a bit of freshness there with Jack Fagan, with Desi Hudson, with, you know, Caleb Lyons. And we hope that Monday, when you're gathering for your podcast next Monday, you're talking about the kind of injection of kind of freshness into the Waterford panel. And you know what? There's no disrespect to Mark. They'll always fancy a game against Cork as well, a one-off game. They'll always kind of say to themselves, they'll be up and at it there, you know, against Cork. And, you know, I think Waterford are well organised. They'll be very, very fit. And I think they'll bring huge energy to it. And, you know, I think it'll be enough. I'm not unrealistic. I think it'll be enough. I think Waterford have a brilliant, brilliant chance next Saturday.
So the Waterford men and the Cork men are both going for Waterford. Just on that, Derek, now that the fantasy teams are picked and you can't transfer this week, is there any truth in the rumour that one Austin Gleeson might appear at the edge of the square?
Well, look, I won't tell a lie. I'd say he will be a forward. He'll be in the forward. You know, I'd imagine he's been playing it, you know, in the forward. Like, so it's look, and it's... Oh, Michael Minahan wrote a brilliant article this morning, the Examiner, about the use of Tony Kelly yesterday, and maybe alluding to the fact they could use Austin or Joe Canning in that regard. And the key thing about Kelly yesterday is he went into the 13 corner, he got all the points from different areas of the field. And, you know, I think that's, we want to see Austin popping up everywhere, and once he's able to do that. And look, he would disrupt the team by turning onto a full forward line, you know, early on in the game as well. He's different in there, and he's good in the air, obviously, and it'll be different. So, look,
But Derek, your point is well made about Kelly, but he still kind of seldom went outside his the Limerick 45. Maybe 65. Do you know, he still, like, you go back to last year's match where Limerick hockey player, you could say the hockey them again yesterday, I suppose, but she's like, he was back behind the half back line nearly, like, you know, and
yeah.
That being the difference, I thought, just subtly, it was attack 20.
Yeah. I suppose it became
freedom, like, obviously, freedom.
But it flowed for him so early, I'd say, Dale, a couple of points early that he was in the groove of that, like, you know, as a character, when he had a couple of points on the board after, I think he had 4 or 5 points on the board after 8 minutes. Like, so he, you know, he's in a situation where it's flowing, and in a situation where he has to go hunting, and there's nothing he can do in that situation.
Well, geez, I was above sure. Look, when they went into their positions and we were off the air, I just said to Donald, like I said, oh, Jesus, like, Lohan, it's a big call. Like, if the Clare public don't see Tony getting a puck, Conor forward, because there's no ball going up, they'd be mutiny, like. But then the points, as you said, went over, and next thing at halftime, if you once halftime was over, if you quick look at social media, they were all raving about Kelly up front, and why didn't we do this years ago? And eventually, when you lose the match, of course, there's other questions asked. You know?
The only difference between Kelly and Gleeson that is that Kelly's conversion ratio would be very high. I mean, Aston, as you know, Derek, is inclined to shoot on sight, like, and some of those are inclined to not go over the bar, like, on a regular basis for him. Like, no, that's mainly when he's playing in a half back line. I mean, if Aston Gleeson can, you know, play centre forward or full forward and steadies himself up and takes on the correct shot selection at the right time, then he's going to be a massive, massive threat for Cork.
Yeah, and look, I think Aston is a power hurler. I used to like him kind of just position himself in the middle of the field and come forward almost, like, you know, even though he's good on under the high ball with back to goal, I used to love him coming forward from kind of facing the ball, but facing the ball forward, if that makes sense, you know. You know, kind of like
a fullback in rugby, Derek, where he'd be hitting the line, like.
Yeah, coming forward. That's where he's at his most dangerous. Like, you know, right in the middle of the field, but blasting away forward all the time, you know.
Sorry about the rugby mentioned there, Larry. I could see you winching there in the background. TJ, the Limerick man was onto that straight away, like.
I suppose it's unusual the week of a championship match, Mark, for Cork, for us to be questioned as to who's going to be centre back. That's probably the conundrum that Cork have faced for the last number of years. And I think an Aussie positioned, I suppose, somewhere between centre forward and full forward. And you know what I mean, in the right formation with the right ball played, like, he's a powerhouse player. I agree with Derek. He could cause untold damage there now in that area, given the right ball at the right time.
Yeah, well, I think he'll be centre forward because I think Stephen Bennett will be full forward. But, like, we'll have to wait and see how that'll pan out. But, like, Gleeson, you know, when he was Hurler of the Year and Young Hurler of the Year there about 4 years ago, he went off the boil. But I think this year he seems to be back really at... Look, he's matured and he's got older and probably people have got behind him and rallied in behind him and stuff like that. And looking after his best interests, like, he's an outstanding talent as a Hurler. There's no question at all about it. And I just think from, you know, if he has the bit between his teeth, he will pose massive, massive trouble. And, like, I was looking at the forwards, the potential forwards for Waterford last week. I was saying, geez, they were very light. And then the Gleeson thing kind of came. And we've had a little chat about that. And like, you know, the two wing forwards, could Kieran Bennett be wing forward as well? I mean, that's potentially, like, they'll need physicality because I think Waterford will go along with puck outs, I would suspect, because I wouldn't like to see, you know, a water of a puck out breakdown in our forward, because I think if one of our forwards nipped a short puck out and stuff like that, I think there's the potential to get goals there. But I think in a one-on-one scenario with Gleeson and Down, it will be a really, really key battle now, I would suspect. Like,
yeah, like, fascinating, lads, and it's gas the 2 year, both Sam Walford and probably the other three of us, I'd say, nearly saying Cork. TJ, you, Larry, you'll be the same. I'd say, yeah, I can see the nod. So look, let's see. We touched on Dublin and Kilkenny, lads, and we give them more of a chance than most pundits out there, but we're probably still going the Cats, I suppose, all of us, yeah. The other match is the hardest match for me to call in the country. I just don't know. TJ, I think you still be strong on Galway?
That's what I've seen. I think they have a lot of players. The vibe is that, like, David Burke and Dahi Burke didn't play in the last challenge game and they are carrying some knocks, and I don't think they're going to start. I don't know. I stand corrected. I'm not privy to any inside information or anything here, Dale, so I just looking from the outside like ourselves. We're possibly looking at maybe Garrod McInerney at full back. Finton probably be on the wing. Shane Cooney, Parik Mannion, Then, like, Cathal Manuel being in the middle of the field, Joe Canning, Conor Cooney, Conor Whelan, Brian Concannon. Like, they just have a huge, huge, huge amount of players to choose from. So they probably have more selection issues than a lot of other counties. Like, they are favourites by the bookies. I think that there's something in them. I think that last year they were very close. As I said, Dublin did come out of Leinster. I think if Galway had got out of Leinster last year, I think there was going to be more improvement in them. And I'm not convinced about Wexford. Maybe I'm going against the grain here, against you guys here, but I just don't see it. And I'm going to go for the Galway win there.
Yeah, I just think the opposite to that, in that you were saying, like, there's so many headaches for Shane O'Neill on picking a team because there's so many options. There might be as many options in Wexford, but you nearly know what the team is going to be down to one or two. And I think in the year we have, that might be an advantage, Derek. Kevin Foley will be sweeping. They'll be attacking from the wing backs, you know, and they'll be very similar to last year, I'd imagine. Met two or three stewards yesterday, now, and in Turles yesterday, there was stewards there from Kilkenny, and there was a Leash lad I had a bit of a chat with, now all masks and social distance, but it was very easy to hear each other as well because there wasn't too many around. But the feedback was that Wexford are flying, like, that their real fitness levels were never as high, and the strength now as well. And we're on about the strength and condition. Jesus, they're big men as well.
Yeah, and I think, well, apparently, and this again is only on the grapevine you're hearing, that Limerick apparently, you know, they didn't go well against Limerick in the challenge match, I believe, you know, and I think since that then, they've really kind of gone well, I suppose, you know, they've really concentrated. The one thing for me, I suppose, is that we'll know Kevin Foley will be sweeping, and, you know, I'm not sure Leighton Hart will be in the back for Galway, who will be sweeping then subsequently for Galway, and Galway are inclined to leave then. They leave a 6-5 situation as opposed because they'll have an actual sweeper. And that would be the interesting thing for me. I just think, I go back to the original point you made, Anthony, about the management being up and running and the advantage that they have. I just think Davy has a bit of an advantage ahead of this weekend, in that the last time they played in Croke Park in Championship, you know, obviously they played Dublin there this year in the league in March, and they came back to win unexpectedly, kind of was... against Tipperary last year. And I just think they're keen to write that. And I think they'll go all out with their total hurling approach on Saturday night. I think they'll try that anyway, certainly. And I think they'll try and right the wrongs Saturday of last year. And I just think they have too much, not preparation done, but too much in the bank in terms of stock that they have over the last couple of years. And I think the route to the final is not an easier one, but I'd fancy him. And when you have the usual situation, you have Joel be man-marked, Cathal Manuel will be man-marked if he's midfield, and, you know, it'll be better they can loosen themselves to get going, I suppose. But just fancy Wexford to have too much.
Yeah, I go with you on that. I just think I really rate Galway. No, don't get me wrong. I think the winners of this will have a big say in the All-Ireland, to be honest. How do you see it, Mark?
Yeah, I'm in a similar vein to what Derek has said there, Anthony. I think it's a new thing for Shane O'Neill. I think coming up again, even having to deal with Davy on the sideline might be throwing him in some respects, like, you know. But you know,
he's from the Piercing now. Davy's from 6 Mile Bridge. That is only about 7 or 8 miles between them. Like,
I know.
Anyone that's surprised by Davy on the line now has to have a chat with themselves. Like,
actually, you're there beside him. It's glad to be talking about it when he's in the other dressing room, but he went to the other side and he gave me the two eyes and he'd be looking up under the eyebrows. Like,
I've been there. I've been there. TJ, yeah, you've been there. It's not as bad as it's made out, is it, Derek?
No.
The back is worse than the bite, Della, isn't it?
Especially, he's playing games, like, so.
Especially when you don't take the bait. If you take the bait, they're in trouble. But if you just ignore them, they're fine.
I used to have a different theory on that, Derek. That if he shouted loud, I'd shout louder.
Oh yeah.
And I maintained that was the way to go. Now look, he got the better of me in the key championship match with Limerick and with Dublin and Clare down in Innes, one that Dublin probably should have won. One young guy came on making one of his debut games. I think he played a league game, his debut championship game, called T. Kelly. And nailed a 21-yard free into the back of the net and rattled over 3 or 4 points from the sideline the same day. I was saying, I know he was good. Like Richie Stakelman was saying to me, who's this kid? I said, yeah. Oh, Jesus. You'll hear about this when I says.
Yeah. He's exceptional.
Do we know who the 4 referees are for the weekend, do we?
Jesus, at this point on a Monday morning, I don't, CJ, but we'll find that out. Larry straight on the phone there. I see him at the top of the lift.
He could be surprised that Cahan McAllister didn't make the cut for the referees this year, Della.
Did he not make the Division 1 cut, no?
No, a bit surprising now. I think the word on the ground is that the county final in Cork didn't do him any favours. The obvious free that he left go for Connolly, but as he came out himself and apologised to Fergal Ryan in halftime, he said he lost his whistle. He went back to pick it up.
Yeah.
And the free, I mean, if that's... I thought he had a magnificent final, I must say, and I think he contributed to the whole overall game. On the day, like, you know,
but yeah, I like him refing just before. There's no refs, Larry has confirmed for us, no refs. He's some topper by that Larry Ryan. By no wonder he's top of the table there. But I tell you, but it was highlighted by the boys last night, and I wrote it down here to refer to, like, a great time frame now. And he was a great young fella for me, you know, Danny Sutcliffe. But that tackle yesterday on Paddy Purcell going forward, as we don't want to see that creeping in, do we?
Red card.
Oh, yeah, I think that's the answer. We don't want a black card. So give him a red for that.
Red card, audio. And I tell you this much, if the referee handed out a red card, he'd have stamped out every potential foul like that going forward. Do it in the county level from the top down. There'll be kids going around now on the 12 and 14 matches next year, flicking fillers with the hull in the back of the league.
Jesus, Killel be savage under 14 next year, but it'll be
just... No, I think you'd really be harsh for that. Okay, yeah, you don't want to see it. You don't see that much of it, right? But in fairness to Danny Sutcliffe, and he's in my fantasy team, and he scored well for me the weekend, right?
He did.
He actually, TJ, before he won,
he was nearly back to his best form.
I was just going to say it. Yeah, he did look. He was on a lot of ball and he had plenty of possessions and stuff like that, right?
How many pucks do you get against Killian Buckley now next weekend?
Yeah.
He'll run him off the field.
Killian Buckley, the fittest man in Ireland.
I think that it would be harsh to see red for that. I think it's a loose flick of the hurley.
I don't think it's like
a red card, Mark. You watch too much soccer, Mark.
That was intentional, TJ.
I think a red card needs to be for a cynical, really, really bad, dangerous, dirty player, right? Yeah, in terms of cynically brought him down, right? But that's not kind of a leg break or anything like that. Like,
I think it was the fact that it was a hurley trip, TJ.
It was harmless as far as I'm concerned. Don't, we're not looking for red cards in Hurlingdale. Don't be getting soft in your old age.
Come here.
I need a glass of wine tonight, TJ, just to mellow. When the Spurs go marching in tonight, glass of red wine. Just relax. I'll be okay again tomorrow. Lander's okay. Strong on that. Derek, what do you think of it?
Well, I do think it was cynical. And without the rugby analogy, then a stringer would be proud of it now, to be honest with you, in terms of the ankle tap that was involved. So it was, yeah, look, and it was, I think there's enough highlighting of it now from us and from last night that will actually kind of have its effect rather than an introduction of a kind of a harsher measure. I think it took a little bit of gloss off Danny's performance. He had done well. It kind of took a little bit of gloss off his own personal performance. You know, he tracked back well. And after he did the tackle, he almost kind of marched back straight away without kind of, you know, before he was pulled into the referee, it was kind of, you know, chest was out type thing, you know. And I just felt, just watching it from the outside in, I thought it was very cynical, you know. And I think there's the boys were making a point last night. There was two defenders in the way, but we all made a great point. I thought he mightn't have seen that, etc. I know that, but there was no need for it, you know, especially with the hurley. If a fella's fallen and he has to drag the fella down, it's kind of different, you know. We can't be completely hypocritical on it. You often ask a fella, look at the stats that Brian Mack produced last week with the teams that fouled the most, win the most games. There's none of us going to be angelic enough to not claim that if a fella's in on goal, that fouling is definitely an option. So we can't say that. But I thought the nature of the hurley trip was the thing that, for me, it was the cynicism of the use of the hurley as opposed to a kind of a genuine attempt to stop a fella. And that's where I'd have the issue with, you know.
Okay, so what we're saying here is, Mark Landers, we're not kind of fully agreeing with you on a red card, because TJ has chastised me that I'm not really like that. But we are giving full warning to you, Mr. Danny Sutcliffe, if you're listening. We don't want to see any more of it.
I need 3 or 4 points in play from Danny again the weekend, Dale, to keep my points total.
Okay, and that's the other message, Danny. Is TJ is going nicely. He's going nicely under the surface on the Fantasy League. He has a few funny picks when I saw his team. But they're the kind of ones that could win it or lose it for you if they click. You know, Larry is in a false position, to my mind, because of the information he got but he heeded it. Though. That's the cuteness of the man from the Temple Derry Kenyans. And just the last thing before we move on the Mark, we'd like to congratulate you on all the work you put into your fantasy league team. And like, you have your name down, Mark Landers, Derek McGrath, up the steps, TJ Ryan, the Bouncers, Anthony Daly, Morty's Gang, Mark Landers. It is really super stuff. Like,
serious creativity. Really,
it really took a lot of time on Friday night from you.
It was going to call it 99 Red Balloons, but I
we had so much trouble to get it up and everything. I don't know how you sell these pension plans to these companies and negotiate these high-powered horse deals like for France and stuff like that.
It's the simplicity of it, Dalo. But do you know what? Myself and my wife were watching the match of the day the other night, right? And Gary Lineker came up and he had the megal on him, right, and the glasses. And she says, Jesus, he used to be a fine thing. And when I see you losing the megal for RT the other night, I was amazed. You obviously watch a bit of match of the day as well, yeah?
No, I'm just acceptance of my age, Mark, and where we are. We can't turn the clock back. I had another birthday last Thursday, you know, so that's just it. There'll be birthdays. There'll be no one catching up on anyone, but you won't be streaking away from anyone either on the age thing. Like, so you just, I don't have hair. I could go around, do this yoke around here, do you know that? With the bit on top. Actually. My uncles. There's only one of them still alive. My mother's three brothers. They went around with this bit of hair around here and this yoke up here. So yeah, me and Derek have taken another option on that option.
Like Grant and Phil Mitchell.
That's it. Like, that's it. We have been compared to that on the Sunday game at times too, kids. Lads, pleasure as always. We always go over time, but that's, I think, the amount of feedback from lads out cutting lawns now, that'll probably be ceasing shortly, but, you know, the lockdown, they're out cycling 5 kilometres and cycling 5 kilometres back and 5 kilometres over and 5 kilometres back again, and they're loving the length of time on the podcast. And look, we can't fail at the moment with the quantity, with the quality of the quantity we have.
Hello, I need to make one other point before you finish up. Dale, one other point for me, right? And I'm not, as you know, I'm not a majorly a big ball fan, right? But on a great weekend for Limerick, winning the Hurling League, right? The footballers had a great win. They're out of Division 4. Billy Lee has done a great job. I know Billy. They've been training that long there for a couple of weeks. Obviously, it's working wonders for them. They've won Division 4. They're up to Division 3 after a long time. So on a great weekend for Limerick, just congratulations to Billy Lee and the Limerick football squad.
Yeah, we won't mention that Mark's team won Division 3, won it, like, and that Clare stayed in Division 2. We won't mention any of that. Like, he won Division 4, fair enough. I know, you're dead right. Billy Lee's a gentleman. And I was delighted for him, actually. I saw a little interview with him last night. I was delighted for him. So, and it's not easy, is it?
In a county where
Where
most of the resources are poured in.
In actual fact, the wheel could go the full circle in Clare back to the early 90s now, where the footballers will be looking at getting to the Munster final, maybe with Kerry and Cork on the other side of the draw. So, Larry, just last message from Larry is the tip stayed up as well. So, I tell you, you nearly always have the last word from Tim Frary. So, lads, super stuff. Thanks as always to Renault. And, lads, we talk to you next Monday again. And hopefully, we'll get. I think we got the kickoff and we had to get it up and running. We were a bit disappointed with the intensity. Matches were a little bit one sided, I suppose, the Clare Limerick match, particularly from the last quarter. But I think this weekend, by God, what stuff we have to look forward to. So, let's bring it on. Thanks, guys.
Mind yourself.
Cheers, Dalo.
Oh, you know, isn't it just great to have it back? You know, it's back. You know, I can go out to gyms, you know. I can go out to the hairdressers for a while, you know. But I can't go without me hurling, you know. We love our hurling by, you know.
With Renault, official car partner of the GAA, taking the passion of a nation to a whole new gear.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.